It's Friday, June the 3rd, and you're tuned in to the Tinnaby Podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world.
It's true.
6 months into 2022. Can you believe we're here?
Oh, wow. Holy shit. It is 6 months.
Yeah, I believe June is month 06.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. You know, sometimes the world is too balanced.
What do you mean?
For every great meme, we get travesty.
What's the travesty?
So we all have known about the Morbin.
Yeah, that's a great meme. It's been absolutely fantastic. Been dude, I'm Morbin right now.
Y'all morbed I'm too mor-
dude,
fucking
it's
hard.
It's Morbin time. All
Listen,
right?
Y'all have morbed too much.
I heard Jared Leto cured cancer with his act in Morbius.
Y'all morbed too fucking much.
Why?
That the world took that as a sign to bring Morbius back to theaters.
Oh my God, no. They're capitalizing on the meme.
Y'all didn't know when to quit.
Dude, irony backfired.
Yeah, there you go.
So are we going to go see Morbius?
No.
Dude, let's
no.
go.
No.
It's Morbin time.
No, I'm going to go see. I got to see Strange this weekend.
Okay, we'll just double feature.
You no, go by yourself,
you know, back
man.
To back.
You can go see the Morbin Dude, time.
I still got to watch Spider-Man, so.
He had a lot of things to do. Yeah, cool. Anyways, this week...
what if I go see Morbius and none of the other movies?
You can do that. I'm going to go see... I got to see Top Gun.
I think I'm going to see that next week. So,
did you watch the...
Not yet. That's the weekend plan. I'm going to watch original Top Gun.
I was going to say, if you've never seen Top Gun...
I don't think I need to... I don't know if the lore matters in dudes flying jets.
Of course it matters.
It doesn't matter.
You're not even going to get half the references.
Goose or whatever that guy's name is.
Dude, come on. Iceman.
Yeah, sure. They play volleyball in that one scene.
You don't know about the passion that Cruise and Kilmer put into that first film.
Who cares?
They're the reason why the bromance exists. Right, you know, okay. they're the original.
Okay.
So you better watch it.
I believe
you. Better report back. But this week... we're reporting on the PlayStation State of Play.
Hell yeah. Video games.
Let's be clear. This State of Play is not related to any Summer Games Festival.
No.
Supposed E3 lineup schedule.
Yeah.
Because I think last year, PlayStation didn't really give out their actual summer game announcements or big summer event show until the end of summer.
Yep.
So... this is just a little six-month catch-up for the year.
Appetizer, you know, yeah. It'll keep you over until the next big thing.
Yeah, so we watched that. We'll get into that shortly. We got some picks, weeks, questions, and anything else in between.
Yeah.
Cool. So why don't you kick off the State of Play since you made all the notes here.
I did. So the State of Play started off straight, cold open, right into Resident Evil 4 Remake. Resident Evil 4 Remake has been rumored for a while. Considering how much they remake that game already, it's not really a surprise that it was true.
Mm-hmm.
But this game looks pretty good. Good. I don't remember. Did they say that this was a PS5 only? Or is this PS4, PS5?
I think it's PS4, 5.
Okay. So they're bringing back Leon S. Kennedy back to his little Spanish village.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to try and protect Ashley. She's in that little Polaroid he had in the trailer and stuff.
Ashley!
They showed a little bit of, like, in-game stuff. No, like, direct gameplay, so no HUD or anything like that.
Yep.
But they did show Leon, like, walking to the town, and they showed a lot of cutscenes. So it's also going to be a little bit before this comes out. It's going to be March 24th, 2023.
Hmm.
So you got some time. But what do you think about RE4 Remake? You think it was inevitable? Are you going to play it? Do you like RE4 enough?
I liked it when it came out. I have no interest to go back.
I wonder if they're going to change anything.
They probably will, like they did with 2 and 3.
Yeah, because Resident Evil 4, if you remember, very campy. Like the main villain is a zombie child in a pirate hat who...
Oh, you mean change like narratively?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
They're going to keep angry child in a pirate hat?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Gameplay, definitely.
Dude, it's perfect. That's the perfect third-person shooter. What are you talking about?
No. Wasn't even as good as 5.
How dare you? How dare you? 5's good, though. I like it. They're also going to release RE4 on PSVR 2.
Mm.
Along with a whole host of other PSVR 2 games. Resident Evil 8, The Walking Dead Retribution Chapter 2, which I didn't even know there was a chapter one. No Man's Sky is coming to PSVR 2, and they're making a Horizon game, Call of the Mountain, that is exclusive to PSVR 2.
Mm.
So we're known haters of VR. Okay, we're not haters. We're cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, sure. I think in certain instances, I like VR a lot. Yeah.
Like Beat Saber.
No, and like racing games.
Okay.
Or flight sims.
Yeah, yeah. But do you... is PSVR 2, like, do you think that's enough of a technology weight for you to buy one?
I think PSVR 2 is Sony's next Vita. It's going to die.
Oh, so it's going to be fucking sick, what you're telling me.
It's going to come out. It's going to have
all the best games.
But the thing is, it won't even be the best in the market it's playing in.
It's not. No, the PSVR has always been the lowest end that you can jump into.
No, Oculus is lower.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oculus is, but the thing is, Oculus is lower priced and a better product.
Yeah, but you need like a bajillion dollar PC to run it, so.
Oculus?
Isn't it?
Or is that the MetaQuest?
Oh, no, that's the self-contained one. Yeah. Yeah, okay, never mind.
Yeah, it's like $400 and that's it.
That's pretty good. God damn. All right. Well.
I mean, you need a Facebook account.
Oh, that see, there's where the real price comes in. You got to sell your soul, dude. Good thing I already did that. But I don't know. There's a lot of the VR games. I think like No Man's Sky and that Horizon game looked pretty good. Resident Evil 8 on PSVR 2 just makes sense because they did it with 7 and it's the first-person games.
Yeah, yeah. The first-person ones always make sense, yeah.
But you mentioned something that kind of rings true while we were watching it, which is disembodied hands really do kind of take you out of whatever like tense situation you're in, right?
Yeah, like seeing Resident Evil with floating hands.
Mm-hmm.
Really just like changes the whole feel of that game.
It's like Lady Dem, and then she's just like, hey, Rayman.
You're like, what?
It kind of takes you, especially, they got to really figure arm tech in.
They got to do something because it's really weird.
A little, especially when you're like picking things up and you're like, they float with like almost like a magnet type thing. I wonder if like making it brutally accurate in terms of physics would be a detriment to the game or not.
I think some games have it, and again, I think it's equally as comical, because then you get hands like stretch, like arms stretching, and they cross, and they look like stretched,
stupid. Yeah. You got bones made of rubber. You're just like looping them around.
It looks because I don't think they can detect when you bend your arm, right?
Interesting. Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
So haptic feedback suit sensors all over your body.
Now that's what I want. That's the real experience.
Chip in your brain.
But that's why I keep saying like I don't think that this kind of VR is the future. We're headed for the Sword Art Online, fucking put me to sleep, send me somewhere else world.
I don't want a corporation to put me to sleep.
I want them to.
I don't trust it, dude. It's the Matrix.
If you want to subsidize that with a Facebook account, go for it. I'll do it.
I'll give you my personal information. I don't know. I think PSVR 2 for me is probably a jumping off point to where I might get one. I think I've waited long enough, and I've had enough fun with my friends' VR sets to where I'd be like, I like to play some of these games in VR.
I feel like PSVR, though, that's the most limiting one. Because now you're stuck with, you can only get PlayStation VR games.
Yeah.
And like I think the VR space is most interesting on the PC.
You're not wrong. But depending on, A, the price point, and B, if I ever get a 3000 series card or beyond, we'll see. We'll see what comes first, PSVR 2 or...
You can get a 3000 series card, man.
Yeah, but will I make the purchase is the real question.
I mean, if you're going to buy a PS5, get a graphics card, the same price.
But I want to play PS5 stuff.
Like what?
Dude, when there's a game in here that looks PS5 exclusive.
Okay.
Right? And I kind of want to play that because I like another game that it seems like it's based off of.
All right.
But continuing on, there's a Horizon Forbidden West update. What was this for? It's just...
New Game Plus. They added some other things, too, that I feel like should have been in the original game. You can transmog your equipment.
Okay.
Which I feel like, why couldn't you do that in the original game?
Yeah.
That seems dumb. You can... what's it called? Respec.
Oh, okay. Which, they didn't have that either?
Again, I don't know why that wasn't just a regular feature.
Okay.
But yeah, they feel like things that should have been in the original title. I don't know why this is such a big deal update, but it's nice to have. It's not necessarily important for those who've, I don't know, probably finished Horizon. Like, I finished. I don't think I'm going to go back. So
you're not going to get New Game Plus extra hard mode, dude? No,
at this point, like, I'm only going back for if it's a DLC thing.
Okay.
But I don't really care.
But I guess if that update comes out, then it doesn't hurt for it when you go back for the DLC.
Yeah.
Okay. Sony is convincing you to not buy PlayStations because they are releasing Spider-Man on the PC. They are calling it a Spider-Man remake, but that game came out like 3-4 years ago.
Okay, so I'll give you the full story on this one. It's not a remake.
Okay.
It's the remastered edition.
There you go.
Which came out on PS5.
Okay. Does this PC version also include Miles Morales?
So they're separate titles.
Okay.
Right?
But I mean, like, they're also releasing Miles Morales on PC.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I think there was a tweet. I think it has now been since deleted. From Insomniac's Twitter account saying Spider-Man will never come to PC.
Nice.
Right?
Hell yeah.
And for a moment, it was like the console wars are back.
Yeah.
Because all the champions were like, well, Spider-Man is still a PS4 exclusive. It's remastered that's coming to PC.
Yeah.
It's like this fucking semantics. They're trying so hard.
Bring back console wars, all right? The world's been too peaceful. We need some trolling.
Are you kidding me? But yeah, anyways, if you haven't played Spider-Man because you don't have a PlayStation, but you have a PC.
Now's the time.
Now's the time, especially if you have a PlayStation, but you don't have a PS5, because playing that game at 60 FPS definitely changes the experience.
I bet it's
like it's
pretty good.
It's so good. And if you have a strong enough PC, I'm assuming now you can have it with ray tracing and 60 FPS, mm-hmm. which is probably what you really want.
Yeah. Oh, and it's also coming out soon, August 12th.
Yeah, I don't think it's something I'll probably be grabbing.
You want to play it for a third time?
No, because then I'd have to play my PC.
And
my PC has a worse screen than
And then
my...
buy an Xbox Elite controller. No. And played in the best way possible.
No.
All right. Okay. After that, we have your favorite, your game of the show.
Oh, fuck.
All
right. This thing.
From Annapurna Games. Stray, the cat game.
Fuck cats.
Annapurna, if you guys, you've probably heard of some of their other games. So they made like Donut County, Outer Wilds, or at least they published them. I don't know if they made them. 12 Minutes, Kentucky Route Zero, Sayonara Wild Hearts, they made, what's that, Watam from the Katamari creator.
Oh, that was them.
Yeah. So they publish a lot of like odd indie stuff. And honestly, this game looks like it's getting a bunch of media attention, mainly because it's a cat.
Yeah. Like there's so many like cat people out there. Like obviously there's always been cat people. It's not like they just showed up.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's especially a lot more cat dudes.
Yeah.
Right? Like. And I'm sorry, but I've had enough of your bullshit, guys.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stand it anymore.
I'm going to give you my theory on cat dudes. I don't think they actually like cats.
No, I think they like cats.
I think that this is a situation where, like, yeah, I'm way into feminism.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, come over. I got a cat. Like, let's go. Maybe I can pet your pussy, too.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what to tell you, dude. If you like cats, I don't know.
Listen, I think it's okay if you like cats. I think it's fine. But like the amount of the obsessive love for cats.
That's also a little.
Like it's sometimes it just gets too much for me. I'm like, dude, it's a cat. Like
it's not even a dog.
It's not a fucking lion.
That'd be sick.
It's a cat.
It's a house cat. They're causing bird population problems. Keep them inside, all right?
I mean, and some instances, like I feel like I should like a cat because I'm very much like that, like giant asshole. Seldom wants to talk to anybody, right? Just like do my own shit. Sometimes I'll kill something and come home with it.
Bring it home, show it off. Dude, killed this guy in an alleyway.
Yeah. But other times, just like, yo, cats, man, enough.
But that's the truest cat behavior.
Yeah.
Because cats hate other cats.
That's true.
Normally, unless that's they live true. Together, right?
That's true. I don't know.
So,
anyways, this game.
I don't even know what it is.
I would have said that this game looks like the most least interesting to me, but there is something else here.
If you say what I think you're going to say, I'm going to lose my mind. But yeah, I don't know. I still don't know what Stray is. It's like half stealth, half adventure. And I guess that's good.
I think it's just an adventure story with a cat. But like, why is he wearing
the cyber backpack or whatever?
Yeah, I guess this is a cat in the future.
Because it's all robots and stuff.
If someone told me that this was, you play a cat in Cyberpunk,
it's what it seems like. It seems like organic life is unnatural.
Yeah, I guess I can get behind that, but it's still a cat that I don't care about.
All right. But if it was a dog.
I still wouldn't care.
So what you're telling me is that if they brought back Tokyo Jungle on the PlayStation, Tokyo Jungle 2, you'd be into it.
That's more, that game's just straight up weird.
That game's awesome.
Like, you don't have to be a cat in that. You could
be a Pomeranian. You
can be whatever the hell you want to be in that game.
You want to make a pack of Pomeranians, you know, multiple generations and take down a lion?
Mm.
Hell yeah. After that, we have, this game is probably the one I'm most interested in playing.
Really? This one on the entire list?
Yeah, because I haven't had like this type of like a horror game in my repertoire, like in my two playlist for a while.
Okay.
So the Callisto Protocol.
Yeah.
This is a horror game made by, was it the PUBG team? I don't even remember.
Crackton.
Crackton? Is that what it is?
I think so. Crackton or Crafton? With a K.
Or is that the guy's name?
No, that's the studio.
Okay, yeah. Okay, the publisher is Crafton. The developers are Striking Distance Studios and Skybound Entertainment.
Like the movie production? Oh, wow. Okay.
I think so.
Skybound.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know what else Striking Distance did. Well, whatever. Who cares? This game is Dead Space.
It's hella Dead Space.
This game is Dead Space 1 through and through. It is PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/S exclusive. So it is current gen only.
Ah.
No last gen shit.
Ah.
And it looks like it. This game looks awesome and very gross. There's a lot of like wet, slimy enemies going on, like stuff birthing from like alien pods and stuff. The gore is out of control.
Yeah.
And it's kind of everything I loved about when they first released Dead Space, but something new. So that Dead Space remake looks as good as this,
I was gonna say, like, skip it. I bet this team shit themselves when they saw, fuck, there's a Dead Space remake.
Yeah.
We just, because I bet they made this, been like, yeah, it's been like 12 years.
It's been a while.
I bet no one cares about Dead Space anymore.
Yeah, and right? Then it turns out,
yeah, that's been like such a punch in the gut.
Oh, it looks. I don't know. I'm really excited for it. It comes out December 2nd, 2022. There's a lot of twos in that date. And yeah, keep an eye on that. I think this trailer looks awesome. After that, we got Roller Drome.
Yeah, why Drome?
I don't know. Like the Thunderdome, but the Drome? I don't know. That's probably a reason.
Okay.
But Roller Drome is a 3D game made by the Ollie Ollie team.
Yeah,
so Ollie Ollie was the 2D side-scrolling skateboarding, like Endless Runner type thing that they had going on for a while. I liked the first one. It was really good. I never ended up playing World or 2, but I did like that game. And this one is a 3D roller derby Tony Hawk game where you shoot guys in the face.
Yeah, but it's not like it's literally like an arena dome.
Yeah, like a roller derby arena.
Okay.
With like, or what's like the more, you remember Rush?
Rush?
You remember when Rush had those like the battle mode instead of the race mode?
I only ever played the race mode.
You didn't play the race mode? And on the N64, I think like Rush 2042 had like, it was like a battle arena.
Yeah.
And you could like jump off ramps and do a bunch of stuff. And that's what it reminds me of. And this game's got so much style. It's all cell shaded, blown up robots while you're doing backflips through windows and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the game, like, it looked like someone had an idea.
Great idea. Fantastic idea.
But it does, it certainly looks like an indie project.
Yeah, it does.
That's what I'll say.
You know, but you know what this really reminded me of?
What?
And honestly, I'm ashamed to say this.
What?
I forgot to play Skatebird.
Oh, wow. After all that
hype? Yeah, after all that hype, I forgot to play Skatebird.
Oh, shit. Skatebird. You said Ollie Ollie.
Yeah.
Because you said Ollie Ollie, I was thinking Skatebird.
No. So Skatebird's the one with the bird on a skateboard.
It's literally Tony Hawk. Yes, okay.
But it's a bird.
Yeah.
And then Ollie Ollie was like the side-scrolling Endless Runner.
Yeah, okay. You're not playing this either.
Maybe. I don't know. I got to play Skatebird first.
Yeah.
God damn. After this, we have anime.
This was the best game they showed.
Also, Roller Drome. It's coming August 16th this year.
Yeah.
So, Eternites.
Yes.
It is described as a action game meets dating sim.
Dude.
You are anime protagonist and your arm gets cut off.
Yeah.
But then you get spirit energy to make your arm whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, you're saving the world and lewdly holding hands.
Dude, press R2 to to hold hands.
Yeah. I dig it. I'm in.
This game can't be good, right?
No. Or this could be 2023 game of the year.
Like, this looks like a game where it's like, yes, of course, the indie anime studio had a cool idea, but they didn't capitalize on it. Like, that's exactly what it sounds like, or what it seems like.
No, this is high budget. This God is it. Damn. This is the next 13 Sentinels.
If there's like a style ranking for the combat, I might have
this game
to.
Looks so good.
It's definitely unique. I'll give it that. And I love unique ideas.
They have moments like in between the cutscenes where it just becomes straight up visual novel.
Like, yeah,
they
it's
have,
like the anime girl with her hair on the desk, like looking
at
you.
Yeah, and it's like really well drawn.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
I'm very conflicted, but it's really interesting to see how they will somehow weave the action game with the dating sim, because it seems like there's multiple playable characters.
I'm sure that it won't be as, let's say, innovative as you think, because they do this all the time. Like, Fire Emblem is that, right?
Oh, I hate Fire Emblem.
Like, they just have a battle section, mm-hmm. and then a dating section.
Aw, boo. Right? Okay.
So Persona does it. You have a dating section.
Yeah.
And then you have an RPG section.
I think it's
kind of
lame in there, too. All right?
Wow.
The fun part of the social link isn't the fact that it exists as a gameplay mechanic. It's the story involved in each, and the fact that I can bang my teacher. All right?
Yeah, I'm sure this will be the same thing.
Okay, all right. What
are you hoping for? Like, you want like a button combo? How you're gonna date a girl?
That'd be fucking
no
sick.
Way.
Hell, yo,
no.
What if I air juggled my girlfriend?
No,
into the bed.
No. Guys, dating is not a calculated maneuver you should perform on the PlayStation controller.
Dude, what if it is though?
It is not.
You remember when Guitar Hero came out and all those jokes came? I was like, oh, he's good with his fingers.
Dude, take it from me. No part of a lady is a button.
Just the one?
No.
There's the one?
No. There's that. No,
and there might be three.
No.
There might be three,
no,
depending on
the
There's
nothing
what
you
into.
Should be twisting around like a joystick. There's nothing you should be rapid
Some
firing
girls
like
are
a,
into
like
that.
A trigger.
You gotta figure it out. Maybe they don't have the, you know, they don't have the controller to twist.
Bro.
But some girls do have the controller to twist. Sometimes they have the analog nub.
Dude, she has not got a microphone built in there. Don't.
Absolutely does. What are you talking about? You get direct feedback on your performance.
There is no mood light to this.
I like this analogy. You know what? I'm more into Eternites now.
Oh, no.
You know, this game might be pretty good. No. I take it back. this is probably arguably like the second biggest announcement, or I guess this is the biggest announcement, like reveal.
I think, yeah, this is the biggest, like,
this is a new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Street Fighter VI.
Yeah.
They showed off Luke, whatever is Jamie, his friend, drunken.
Jaime.
Bonk. No, that's a different one. That's the button.
Oh, God.
And then they showed off Chun-Li and Ryu.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of like sneak peeks of like other characters around. Like if you look into the background, I think some of the billboards in the city have like new challenger, and it'll show like a character and stuff like that.
Right.
But the big thing about this is there's a lot of possible mechanic hints in this trailer.
Oh yeah,
because they show a lot of gameplay, or at least early concept gameplay. First of all, I'll get out of the way what I don't really, or what I'm worried about. A little worried about.
Why are you worried?
There's a thing in fighting games called hit stop. So when I hit you with an attack, the animation kind of stops to register the hit.
I like
right?
that.
So you can see it. And it's like, did I hit it? Did it get blocked or whatever? The hit stop in this game is bonkers in that it lasts a very long time.
It needs to.
And it really reminds me of like original Xbox level fighting games, like Tao Fang, Fist of the Lotus, or whatever the fuck that one was, where you could like break your opponent's arms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I feel about that, because Street Fighter has always been very smooth.
Smooth?
But the good thing about this is that if you guys go watch the Street Fighter VI commentary trailer,
yeah,
the gameplay looks a lot better and smoother than it did in the reveal trailer.
Okay.
So hopefully they just did that for like special effects and whatever. But they brought back a lot of stuff. So like art-wise, they kind of brought back the ink stuff from 4 and 5.
They did, but does it carry more color now?
Yeah, it carries color now.
Oh, right, because the ink was just black. Yeah.
So now it's like a lot of like graffiti, street art style.
It's almost Splatoon levels.
It's almost, it's a lot. It's a little bit distracting.
Mm.
But within all that, they have what seems like a lot of different mechanics. So They have what looks like a focus attack from 4. What looks like a Street Fighter 3 parry.
Yeah.
What looks like guard crush moves from like anime games like Guilty Gear and stuff like that, where if you're blocking, you'll go into like a special hit stun animation if you guard it.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. They're throwing a lot against the wall, and I really hope that either A, it all comes together, or B, maybe it's not as crazy as the trailer makes it out to be. Like, maybe certain characters have parry while certain other characters have focus attacks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think this looks really cool. On top of the fact that they're doing some sort of like open world single player thing where you fight people on the street. You remember that in the trailer?
Yeah, so why are you literally street fighting?
It's called Street Fighter.
But like all the trailers build it up to be like, this is an MMA fight.
Yeah.
Right?
Professionals.
Yeah. I don't know. That's weird to see them just like fighting a bunch of NPCs in the street. I don't know if I like that. Unless this is Tekken, what's that Tekken mode called? Where you go through the street as a side scroller.
Oh, the beat 'em up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. I kind of like that.
Okay.
Or what if they just do Street Fighter bowling? It's just Tekken Bowl, but it's Street Fighter.
No.
Hell yeah. There's also a possible leaked list of characters that came out that looks like the full roster. It seems kind of legit because a lot of the art is like evolutions of what they were from before. A lot of new characters in there. They gave Cammy pants, which is kind of a crime. Same thing with Zangief.
Wow, I like Cammy's look though.
The British punk rocker with the short leather jacket.
I love how Juri has been a mainstay since her introduction.
Dude, Juri is waifu bait. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. She's crazy, she's hot, and she's crazy hot. Okay? Like, what else do you need?
But I see they've changed. So how much of her costume do you think they're going to erase for her boobs?
I hope a lot.
Do you think that, like...
I hope most of it.
Like, most of this, like, where the spider legs are going to be filled in?
You mean, like, how are they going to censor it?
Yeah.
I hope they don't. I want underboob. Give me the underboob.
I feel like that's prime material to just be like, we're going to make that all like a black t-shirt. Like a black jumpsuit underneath.
I really hope they don't. I think people have had enough with that kind of just like, oh my God, they showed boobs.
Get over it. Akuma just more and more just look like a bear every time.
And because he's training in the forest, dude.
Like, what's happened to this man?
Dude, Ken, all the jokes about Ken is hilarious. Because they're like, Ken lost all of his money on crypto. He's just homeless now.
No, I think Ken has finally become what he's always aspired to be.
Ryu?
Yeah. He's just American Ryu.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, he's just wandering into America.
He's got the Terry Bogard jacket.
Yeah.
He's just missing the hat.
Like, Ryu's still, I don't know, man. Japan's not that big of a place, my man. What are you doing still?
I can't believe they gave Zangief pants. This is so stupid.
I mean, I see it, but they're more like capris. They're like 3/4 pants. He's still got the wrestling boots.
True. True. And there's a lot of cool character designs coming in. AKI, the Chinese one, I really like. She kind of looks like a boss character. I want to know what's going on there.
Okay.
But yeah, if you want to check out the leaks, go for it. They're all there. And Street Fighter 6, hopefully the launch is better than Street Fighter 5, because what a shit show that was.
Yeah.
God damn.
Mm-hmm.
After that, go back to the notes, baby. Wow. We have Tunic. Coming out to PS4, PS5 finally.
Yes.
It used to be PC and Xbox exclusive, but I guess that deal has run out. So September 27th, you can play Tunic. There's a game called Season, A Letter to the Future.
This is the worst game they showed.
Okay, that's fine. All right. I thought you were going
to
say
this was the worst one. This one's trying to tell me a message. Like, it's trying to speak to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not here for it.
This is some Gone Home shit. I don't really know what they're going for here. It's you play as a lady who records audio in the forest and you make a diary and you ride a bike occasionally. The season hint, or like the trailer hints at some sort of like apocalyptic event happening at the end of the season, maybe some like time travel shit. I don't know. It's definitely trying to hook you in more so with its story or potential story and its like aesthetic rather than anything else.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Kotaku and Polygon will eat that shit up.
Probably.
But I kind of don't care. Unless somebody comes out and they're like, the story's fucking wild, then I'll come back.
Mm.
But yeah, after, I kind of burned out on those type of games when it came to, was it Limbo and Inside?
Oh yeah, Inside. Yeah.
I didn't like those games. So
okay,
I kind of stay clear of anyone who's just like, it's a mysterious story game. And I'm like, all right, okay.
Fair enough.
And then the final one, probably the biggest one.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 16.
Mm.
They showed off hella gameplay.
Mm.
A lot of cutscenes.
Yeah.
But also, what was shocking is that you told me is that the lead combat designer for this game was the lead combat designer for Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah, and he does, and he did work on the recent DMCs.
I am erect.
There is one more person, I can't remember who, but they're also very prominent because there's three. There was Naoki, right? He's the guy from 14.
Yep.
I forget the guy from Dragon's Dogma thing, but I know there's one more person who's like very important to this that I can't remember. But oh well.
Oh well. Oh yeah. So the Dragon's Dogma guy is Ryota Suzuki. So he worked on Devil May Cry 5 and Dragon's Dogma. Yeah. I can't find the third one very quickly. But this game's got air combos. It's got juggles. Still going into AoE attacks. Got fast dashes. But what I'm really worried about is that all this cool stuff will be a single button press.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of skills on screen. And it looks like you use a skill and then cool stuff happens rather than you doing the skill through like a series of button presses.
Okay.
Which I couldn't imagine them taking Final Fantasy and then turning it into Devil May Cry. Like, that's not going to happen. But hopefully it's a little bit more in depth than press button, watch cutscene, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
at least for me. I don't know if, like, would you care either way?
No, I don't think I don't think I need it to be like, I'm not expecting this to be Devil May Cry levels of
complexity. Yeah,
I mean,
but I just don't want it to be Final Fantasy 15 levels of complexity, and by that I mean none.
Yeah, okay, I can see it. I think I'm okay either way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I'm remembering Dragon's Dogma, and that game, I would never say that game ever went anywhere near as complex as DMC.
Of course. But it was much more complex than 15.
Yeah.
You're still jumping on people. You're climbing monsters. You have different types of attacks. In 15, it was kind of just like hold. It was literally hold square to attack, hold circle to dodge.
Yeah.
And then like you were invincible as long as you had MP.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like by the end of that game, I got real tired of that combat system. So.
That's true. Okay.
Do you have any hopes for this game?
I think this game is going to be amazing.
I hope so. I really hope so. Because I got burned on Road Trip, the video game. So,
what was I going to say? The last guy is Hiroshi Takai.
Okay.
Who worked on FF5.
Oh, damn.
Saga Frontier and The Last Remnant.
Dude, they brought the hipsters out for this game. Hot so damn. So,
that's like that. That leads the trio, I think.
What about? Let me tell you about Butts. All right. Let me talk about Butts and Gilgamesh.
Butts.
Remember Butts? Nobody does because it didn't come out here.
No.
Exactly.
Not till recently.
I should get those pixel remasters.
I have six.
You have six? You should play that game. That's a good game.
I started it.
Nice. Hell yeah.
And then I was like, shit. I gotta watch this other thing until October.
Oh, God. Just listen. you don't need to watch it. All right. Just keep that second monitor.
I'll tease
English
you.
English dub second monitor. All right. That's all you need. No. But that was the state of play.
Yeah, that's the state of play. But though, don't worry, folks. Video game news doesn't end there.
It does not.
Because I would argue the biggest trailer for video game news this past week dropped. And that was the Pokemon Scarlet and Violet trailer number 2.
Listen, you say that, okay?
Yeah.
But listeners know, we don't play Pokemon games anymore.
But
we buy them.
Yes.
And then be like, I can't wait to play it.
Yeah.
And then we don't play them. Maybe if TJ talked on the podcast, he would tell us all about all the Pokemon shenanigans happening.
Probably. But anyways, this trailer looks sick. These Pokemon are back.
In Pog form.
And they're awesome. It looks like the first trailer showed off. this definitely pulls from Arceus in terms of its open worldness, and that looks amazing.
It really does make Arceus look like a beta test.
Yeah, it does.
Right? Like, because they released the beta version of the game.
Yeah, it's almost like every complaint you saw about Arceus, this one addresses, and then some.
Yeah.
Because you know it's not going to skimp out. It's going to have all, like, the fun, nuanced minigames and, like, other reasons to play beyond just getting badges.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks crazy. But this one finally showed off the legendaries.
One of them looks absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And the other one looks very normal.
Yeah. So one of them, the Violet.
A Scarlet? Are you going to talk about the normal one first or the crazy one first?
I'm going to talk about the crazy one first, right, man. Because Violet is a snake. But it's like a, instead of scales, it's carbon fiber.
Yeah. This...
And then, for some reason, instead of limbs, he's got jets.
No, well, instead of legs, he's got arms still.
That's true. Okay, fine. He's got arms. Fair enough. It was so crazy, it already erased what Scarlet was. I can't even remember.
He's just like a big red dude.
Barney. Is he a dragon? Is he a... Because I can't tell you what he was.
He's a big red Barney. That's what I told you.
Pokemon Scarlet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, see? Big red Barney.
Is that what he is?
Okay, he's not Barney.
No. They're both... I don't know, actually.
The guy in red looks like he should be wearing a Hypebeast jacket. Like, he looks like the fucking streetwear kid in Toronto.
Yeah, but like, what? Does he have feathers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got like a little horn tentacle thing. He's got feathers. He looks much more in line with Pokemon.
He looks much more in line with what we know about dinosaurs now.
Yeah.
Man, it's upsetting.
And it sucks. It's trash.
The Violet one definitely looks like a mystical creature with jets.
My theory is that that's a man-made legendary. They brought back the Mewtwo-style storyline.
The jet one?
But it's a machine instead of organ. They failed with Mewtwo, so they made
Mewtwo. Oh, is this a Mewtwo situation?
Yeah,
oh, okay,
yeah, yeah.
Fair enough.
I can see that.
I can get behind it because the Violet one has like lightning or something.
Yeah, he's got like you said, his whole body is a carbon fiber / machinery.
Yeah.
He's got jet legs where he just hovers in place.
Yeah.
He's got like energy pulsating out of every orifice.
Yeah, the Scarlet one, actually, yeah, he just looks like a Pokemon.
Yeah, he just looks like a strong Pokemon.
Except he's got a tire.
Or does he?
He's got like a tire in the middle of his body.
I can't unsee it now. God
yeah. Fan favorite though for this generation in the trailer was a pig named LeChonk.
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 Damn.
So that's awesome.
I kind of hate that. Whatever. Who cares?
Okay.
Is gonna be one of the Pokemon where everyone's like, "Oh, LeChonk." It's in nobody's party, right? Nobody uses LeChonk.
Everyone loves LeChonk,
though. Unless they make LeChonk like top tier.
No. LeChonk is going to be the guy you see always winning the fashion show Pokemon.
Oh, true. He's going to have a bunch of poffins. He's going to be wearing a hat.
Be like, yeah, beauty comes in all sizes. LeChonk.
God damn. It was a little on the nose, dude.
Then we had the teaser trailer for the sequel to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Who cares?
Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Nobody cares.
Everybody cares.
This game was not good.
This game was so good.
It was average at best.
It was amazing.
Solid
best.
5 out of 10.
It was about as good as Uncharted.
God damn. It was good as Uncharted?
Yeah.
That's you saying that?
Yeah.
You're on drugs.
It might even be better than Uncharted.
You're on drugs, my friend.
It might even be better than Uncharted.
I don't believe you.
It's not as good as Tomb Raider.
Dude.
But it's as good as Uncharted.
You're saying Tomb Raider is better than Uncharted?
In terms of gameplay? Hell yeah.
Oh my God. Who are you?
In terms of gameplay? Dude, yes.
Corporate life has poisoned your brain.
But Star Wars Fallen Order is the perfect blend of gameplay and cinematics.
Yeah, more like boring gameplay and cinematics. Bro, God damn.
This game looks sick. I know all my Star Wars fans out there are like, yeah, this game looks awesome.
Yeah, I think I just don't like Star Wars. I think that's why I hated on it so bad.
Actually, yeah, I think I watched a recent IGN. They had like a battle of the best Star Wars games. Mm-hmm. What do you think came first?
Oh, I know Star Wars. Hold on.
What do you mean you know?
I know what it is.
Are you looking it up?
Yeah. Shadows of the Empire for the N64.
No.
Hell yeah.
You and I both know
It's Star Wars Pod Racing.
100%. No.
That's my favorite one.
No, it's KOTOR. We all know it's Knights of the Old Republic.
I haven't played KOTOR, so.
And then number two is Fallen Order.
Where's Pod Racing? Episode 1 Pod Racing.
Somewhere around Super Star Wars.
Misa needs a new fucking engine for my thing. All right?
No, but I'm glad you brought up racing because my last trailer is the Formula 1 2022 features trailer.
Dude,
This game looks awesome. This game now looks like racing.
Featuring steering.
Bro. Featuring which couch you can buy for your trailer.
For your house.
And I don't know if you noticed, but all the cosmetics all have currencies beside them.
Yes.
They're like, wow, you can really tell what EA added to this franchise.
What's that thing that they have in FIFA, like the card packs or whatever, the legendary teams? Do you think they're going to do that for this game?
So I don't think they're going to do it like that, at least not yet. I can definitely see it being something they'll add down the line, but not yet.
Because there's a couple, like, loot boxes are getting really shit on recently. Absolutely. There's a couple countries, I forget what they were.
Didn't they claim they're predatory?
Huh?
Then they claim like loot boxes.
Yeah. Especially in Europe. But there's a couple countries who have banned the new Diablo game because of their loot boxes. Right. They said it was too predatory. So you literally just can't release it here.
That's on PC beta right now.
PC beta and phone.
Hmm.
But I don't know if EA can really get away with that shit anymore. Maybe they can in North America, but
yeah, well, we'll see.
That's when you have to go to PlayAsia, import the Japanese version of F1 2022 or whatever it is.
Probably. Well, I think this game, their cosmetic model follows like what you see in like Apex and whatnot, where it's a rotating store of cosmetics.
Yeah, and if you miss out on something, get fucked.
Yeah, so like I think it's like that. Other than that, though, the game looks awesome. It's the new season of F1. It's the first that's supposed to be on the current gen systems. Mm-hmm. New tracks, new cars. That's why they introduced new handling, right? But I'm more excited about all the like additions they've added to really like
Formula 2.
No, the one that makes you feel like, this is a real licensed game. Like, I like broadcast mode.
Oh, that was cool.
Where they put on, like, the actual broadcast UI.
Looks like TVs. They got all the camera angles.
I think that's really cool. I don't know. Like, I would never use it in racing, but...
What if you're doing B-spec? What if you're managing your car and the AI's driving?
I mean, if they have it. That's the other thing. Adaptive AI. I really want to see what that's like. Like... It's supposed to be so much of the Nemesis system, but for AI.
Bro, car this is racing. Old already. Let me tell you about Drivatars, dude.
Drivatars suck.
Dude, Drivatars. It's already been invented, all right? Adaptive AI.
And then I like the idea of having pit stop errors and just general.
That shit was weird.
I like it.
Just RNG. I can't get the tire off.
Oh, like, man, that's racing.
That's crazy. That's
racing. Like I love it when they add more things to really just like fuck you over.
This is
for no reason.
Dude, I got a game for you. It's called Escape from Tarkov.
No, that's not what all I right? wanted.
Let me tell you about Escape from Tarkov.
That's not a racing game.
You can race to the loot.
Oh god, then you just die and then it's over.
Okay, well what happens if you pit and then they can't get your tire off and then you're in last?
Then I try to race from the back.
Then you're not going to get there.
Right? Oh, okay. But yeah, no, I'm excited for this. This comes out July 1st. I pre-ordered the Championship Edition, which gives you 4 days early access.
Already.
Which means that it comes out 2 days before Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, which means I might not be in on Monster Hunter for a bit.
You fucking loser, god damn. I already bought Sunbreak.
But I buy F1.
Just you buy both, right?
No.
Absolutely not.
That's ridiculous.
I don't want to do
How that. Could I buy more than one game at once? I've never done that before. No, I would never do that.
Never. I would never, ever have a backlog of video games never, in the history okay? of ever.
And I would never try and play more than one game at a time. So
who would do that?
Exactly.
Honestly, irresponsible.
That's stupid.
Exactly.
Really. Absolutely.
Listeners, if you do that, you're dumb.
Yeah, jeez.
Be like us, perfect in every way.
All you sinners on the Steam sale just buying multiple games.
Who would ever overload their library with Steam games on a Steam sale? Not me.
Why? Exactly.
Maybe because one day you'll play it?
No, you won't.
All right, listen, that copy of Pyre has been in your Steam library since 2017. You're not going to play it. Just uninstall it.
Absolutely.
All right.
Why the hell would you have games installed?
Because they're small enough and then I can
only have one game installed at a time, the one you're playing.
No.
God, jeez.
What if I want to pop in quick to Cookie Clicker?
We just discussed there's no playing two games at once.
That's not a game.
What are you talking
about?
Is it a
game?
No.
All right. See, then there you go. It's fine. Those are your picks.
Yeah,
those are your good. All right, someone keeps giving Yu Suzuki money.
Is this the man of Shenmue?
This is the Shenmue man. I don't know what the fuck these people are doing, but Yu Suzuki is releasing a endless shooter called Air Twister. It's coming out to Apple Arcade in June.
Apple Arcade, you say?
And this game, still, somehow, in the year of our Lord 2022, looks like a Dreamcast game. I guess it's on the phone, but phones are pretty powerful now. it is. I like bullet hells. I like shoot 'em ups, and this is an endless shoot 'em up. So part of me is like, I wish it came to Android. But who's giving Yu Suzuki more money? Who's doing this?
Well,
is it us? Are we doing it?
Certainly isn't me. Like, yes, that's why I'm looking at you.
I did kickstart that video game, and I'm still salty about it.
So two things. One, and they stop giving this man your money.
True. Also
and,
true.
And two, like you said, Apple Arcade. Get a fucking iPhone.
No, Android all the way, baby.
I know your actual iPod's dying.
It is. It's so gone. I can only get like 3 hours of
I know you play time out of it now. Replace that.
My iPod Touch is kicking the bucket.
Listen, I could
hang. Wait, is this a Touch? No, this is a Classic.
No, it's a Classic. It has the click wheel.
Yeah, it's got the click
wheel. You know, kids don't know what that
classic,
is.
Classic, baby.
Kids don't know what that
I
is.
I told you that. Did I tell you that story when I worked with kids?
I'm pretty sure I have a summer student who doesn't know what that is.
Yeah. I had a kid in kindergarten. She's like, they're like, Anthony, what are you listening to music? Oh, let me pull out my iPod. They're like, oh, you got an iPod? Cool. Blah, blah, blah. And then I pull it out and they're like, what is that?
Hold on. Kids know what an iPod is?
Well, yeah, if their parents don't want to give them a phone. Right, and they don't want to give them an iPad. They buy like the iPod Touch, and then they have apps and stuff.
Bro,
yeah. But this kid is. Remember, these kids are in kindergarten, so they're like 5, 6. I pull it out, and they're like, "What is this?" I'm like, "It's an iPod." And they're like, "No." And then what do they do? What's the first thing do you think they do
touch when
they
the grab?
They touch the screen, and nothing happens. Yeah. And they're like, "I think it's broken." I'm like, "Oh God, it's not broken. It's just,
It's just obsolete."
God dang! I can still listen to music on. It's still fun,
bro. You should show them like an MP3 player without a screen. That just blows their mind.
You could only fit 12 songs on here, and it's only shuffle.
How do you know what you're listening to?
You don't. You got to keep skipping through until you get back to the song you liked.
Oh man, I love that.
Because when you go backwards, it also randoms the other way.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Goddamn. So yeah, Yu Suzuki. It keeps playing it. I think the game looks kind of cool. So if you have an iPhone, check it out. But if you hate Shenmue, don't give Yu Suzuki money.
Listen, man. iPhone comes out in September.
Is it an actual new iPhone or is it like a iPhone. Plus of
no,
the
no, it's a new
one?
iPhone.
Okay.
I'll buy one if you get one.
So that means new Samsung?
No, the Samsungs, didn't they just drop?
Yeah, but they release a phone like every year.
Yeah, I don't. Didn't they already do theirs this year?
Did they? I don't know.
They usually do theirs in like April.
I haven't been keeping up with the phone market. Is it the 22? Is it the 23?
It's a 22.
All right, I gotta look that up. Maybe I'll get the S22. Maybe I'll get a flagship phone. I haven't got a flagship phone in a while.
It's not worth it.
I think my last flagship phone was the Samsung S4.
It's not worth it.
Why not?
Unless you're actually using the features on it.
Who uses all the features on their phone?
Exactly. So it's not worth it.
Okay, then I should buy the flagship iPhone instead?
No. You should buy the iPhone mini.
God damn. Shut up. Shut up. I hate you. After that, I'm going to appeal to my co-host here, Vince. I know you like anime.
Oh, God.
All right?
How dare you?
You love anime. And you're one of the few people I know who love anime Blu-rays.
Oh, God.
Right? We talked about that shit.
Oh, God.
So let me... I think you'll be extremely excited when the 90s... You also love 90s anime, dude. G Gundam, Jesus all that Christ. Old shit. You love that stuff. Fighting Futons. It's all your favorite.
No, not Fighting Futons.
All right? They're bringing back all 35 episodes. 30, not 24, not 16, not 35. What a value of the Virtua Fighter anime.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Why?
Yeah, oh, that, it's such a deal.
That's karma.
It's such a deal. I'm dying. So the reason it's 35 episodes, because get this. From 1995 to 1996, in North America, only 24 of those episodes were released.
What?
11 exclusive Japanese-only episodes are coming out.
I'm guessing these are only subbed.
Yeah, I'm gonna assume that the last 11 episodes are not going to be there. But you, it's so crazy. There's going to be more announcements later. There's going to be like extras and eventually a release date. It's just coming out later in 2022 now.
Yeah.
But if you want to get a sneak peek, I think 24 episodes are available on YouTube through the same company that's releasing the Blu-ray.
Okay.
And you too can follow the adventures of Virtua Fighter. You know, everyone's favorite Virtua Fighter character, Virtua Fighter. Because in this series, Akira's name is Virtua Fighter.
How does that even make sense in the 90s?
His name.
Because it's not like he's going to an arcade. He's literally Ryu.
His name is Virtua Fighter, dude.
Okay, so I'm reading this story, and first of all, Discotech Media, that's a good studio name. I like that. Okay, cool. They're releasing this in what they call SD on BD.
Hell yeah.
Bro. So SD on Blu-ray, you know what that's called?
I mean, what?
A DVD.
No, it's a Blu-ray, because all 35 episodes plus bonuses will be on two Blu-rays.
How dare
two this Blu-rays?
This release is an insult.
Bro, you were just complaining about SD on HD, but now they've made it. They've put it up in a way that fits the HD screen.
No, but it doesn't. That's why they're calling it SD on Blu-ray. They're like, we are releasing standard definition on a Blu-ray disc.
Dude, this Discotech claims the closest to the master video this will ever look.
Which is always in standard definition.
Yes.
How dare they market this as SD on BD when it should just be DVD?
No, but then you need four DVDs instead of two Blu-rays.
Who cares at this point?
Dude, slim down your packaging.
I'm sure four DVDs are cheaper than two Blu-rays.
I doubt it, dude. Who makes DVDs anymore?
I don't know. Nobody. You know what? They should have released this on CDR Plus. Dude,
what if they released it on Laserdisc?
Oh, God.
Hell yeah. You know what? Discotech Media, doing God's work. All right?
This is awful.
Everyone's favorite 90s anime. This is Virtua Fighter.
Upsetting.
Also, but in real upsetting news, last week
this one's all right.
I had shut the fuck up, you motherfucker. I had talked about how Sony keeps hating on their classics.
Yeah, because everyone hates the PS1.
God damn. I know even you don't believe that. God,
I would never go back to the PS1.
Yeah, but you love the PS1. You have fond memories of the PS1.
And that's where it should stay. In the past. No one should ever revisit that shit. Damn. I went to the Video Game Museum this weekend. Let me tell you.
It's awesome. I bet it was great.
No one fucking cares about the PS1.
What?
No one cares. Nintendo? Hell yeah. Sega Master System? Of course.
What? Nobody cares about the Sega Master System.
Bro. Atari 2600? Absolutely.
Dog shit. Absolute dog shit.
The PlayStation 1?
Adventure? Who cares?
Meh.
Oh my god. So, Sony is trying to improve their 50 hertz PAL versions by releasing a patch. They are using this patch to, quote-unquote, blend frames.
Nice.
So, they are not putting up the NTSC 60 hertz refresh rate versions of these games. Instead, they are taking the PAL versions and software modding them in a way to try and make it look 60 hertz, but it's not 60 hertz.
Yeah.
And it, by no one's surprise, has made everything worse. It turns out that the blending technique has made a huge ghosting problem. And now every game, when you're moving around, has assets that are like showing ghost versions of themselves depending on how you're moving, and it makes everything significantly worse than it already was. I don't understand, again, how a multi-billion dollar corporation who makes the most money for their whole corporation can fuck this up this fucking badly.
Easy. They don't care.
But they should care. That's the problem.
This is not making
them
money.
They should care.
This All is right. like these. This is an ad. You know what this is?
What is it?
This is just the siloed department at Sony. Like, you do this, have fun with what you want.
Is what they hired Blue Point to do.
Yeah, they're like, if you're happy with this, we'll send it out. We'll just believe you. But like, whatever happens in this department, you are inconsequential to the main business.
I don't know how you can disrespect I can't think of another company that would take take the products that made them who they are and then be like, let's just take a big dump on it and then release it to the public.
I mean, isn't that all corporations at some point?
It's
like, look at Ferrari. You know what their next car is?
What is it?
An SUV.
Yeah, but they're using that to fund the Formula One team. We went through this already.
Bro, it's an SUV. That breaks every Ferrari tradition.
You're right. We should take up arms and
God, okay,
take over these companies.
I have a question about this.
Okay.
This ghosting or this the 50 hertz to 60 hertz.
Yeah.
So the problem is NTSC ran at 60, right?
Yep.
And PAL's 50.
And PAL is 50.
So what if you just ran this on a panel that did this? You know how like some of those TVs have ultra smoothing?
Yep.
If you did that, You just get input lag, right?
Well, that's the main problem even now, yeah. is that input lag is a thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of those older games are unforgiving.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, what if you ran it on a panel that had VRR, variable refresh rate? Because that's the big thing I was complaining about that the PlayStation didn't have. Now it has it.
But do the classics support it? I don't know.
See, that's the thing. I don't know if they support it. But I'm because like on
if the variable refresh rate is a system level thing that affects everything the system runs, then maybe.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's like a game specific thing. It sounds like it would have to be a game specific thing.
Yeah, I think on Sony you're right. It might be software specific, but I know on Xbox it is hardware specific.
Like it's in the console.
Yeah.
God damn, I gotta get an X Series X or whatever.
Yeah, because I know like for certain games on my PC, it is system level and you can run them like that. But it takes a little bit of work. But
yeah,
sometimes it's better.
I don't know. I continue to read this and I continue to get disappointed, and it bums me out when any company anywhere, like, it's like, oh yeah, remember like our roots, remember all that shit. Fuck that shit. It sucks. I hate it.
Okay.
Even my corporate job is taking better care of their finance history in their like whatever anniversary they're in this year than Sony is dealing with their PS1 classics.
Interesting. My corporate job is not. We're looking at how to squeeze more for rent.
God damn. Soulless. God damn. And then the last one, I'm not even sure if this is real. I'm just going to come out straight up.
Oh, this movie.
I don't even know if it's a movie. All right? There's some Chinese movie or some Chinese trailer that came out that's called Land Shark. All right? Look up Land Shark 2022. It's about a shark who gets kicked up with drugs. What's that shark movie with Samuel Jackson? You remember that was Deep something? Deep Blue?
Deep Blue.
Yeah. They rip off all the scenes from Deep Blue and then make it so that the shark can swim through land.
I mean, sure.
I think I just bring this up because I thought I was in a fever dream when I saw this, when my friend sent it to me. And I'm like, why? Why does this exist? And then I realized it was like from state-approved Chinese whatever. Well, I'm like, okay, that makes sense, I guess. You
know, China loves the like when they...
They love finning sharks, 100%. You are correct.
But they also love 80s television show remakes into the big budget screen, right? Yeah. Like they single-handedly fund Transformers and whatever fucking else you put up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is just the next in their long line. This is Street Sharks.
It's true. This does fall in line with the big, dumb action China love this movie.
Yeah, this is Street Sharks. I'm telling you, halfway through this movie, they're going to hop on motorcycles.
And they're going to ride the sharks? Or the sharks are going to hop on motorcycles?
Yeah.
All right.
It'd be Street Sharks. Okay. I'm telling you. Right. We'll do it. And they'll start talking.
This is just insane. I got nothing else to say about it. Just Google or YouTube search Land Shark 2022. You'll find it. It's so dumb.
I think it looks like a quality product.
I think it looks like propaganda.
From a quality studio. From a quality country.
Xi Jinping thought, baby.
What?
What?
Huh? What did you say?
Xi Jinping thought? You don't know his whole slogan?
No.
Where he's reformed the school system with Xi Jinping thought.
Really? Like T-H-O-T?
No, T-H-O-U-G-H-T.
Oh,
like thinking. Like,
oh, fuck. Yeah. I had a different
dude, picture in you're my out mind. Of control today. What's going on? Dude, did what? You drink your coffee? Are you okay?
Yeah, I drank it all. That's why I'm hyped up.
You Irish it up a little bit?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Right. Absolutely not.
But that's the end of my picks. And that means we now have a question to chew on.
We sure do.
So, Vince, can you take it away?
Yeah, no dramatic reading this week. But as the experts, what would you say is the most powerful genre of anime?
Porn.
Wow. Too quick to answer. In this case, let's let powerful equate to influential.
Okay.
If you interpret it to mean something else initially, what exactly did you think it meant? And how would you answer in that case as well?
I thought it meant how much power it puts in my dick. Oh.
The most powerful genre of anime is hentai. That's for sure.
Okay. That's the cheat answer. But we know the real answer is it's just shonen, right?
It has to be shonen.
Like, Shonen Jump is the mainstay magazine for a reason.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what other anime you're watching, any other category. It could be a rom-com. It could be a seinen. But they all take their initial influences from what shonen is doing.
Yeah.
Like, they are the benchmark setters.
It's kind of wild to look at anime and see all of the offshoots and stuff. Where, at least in modern day, it doesn't feel like... Maybe I could say with, like, certain, like, legendary manga creators, like... Naoki Urasawa, who made like Monster and stuff, where I'm like, he had a vision of an adult show and he wanted to make it in manga form. Mm-hmm. And that was his own original thought, like influenced by nothing else, right? Yeah. Just his own unique ideas.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's, I like shonen trope X, but I don't want it to be aimed at 12-year-olds. So they take the shonen trope and do something with it, right? It's always stemming from shonen, no matter what it is. It could be romance, like you said.
Yeah.
It could be action. It could be drama, thriller, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's always stemming from shonen in some way.
Yeah.
And I guess in certain ways, like actually now that I think about it, maybe that's a bit limiting to manga in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I read like American comics, like not everything stems from Superman, right? Not everything stems from DC and Marvel.
Yeah.
There's a whole line of totally out there stuff that's like Image Comics or whatever other indie studios, Dark Horse.
Yeah.
They do a bunch of weird one-offs and stuff. And they're very unique, like light novel-esque ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if that hurts manga in some way or anime in general.
I think that's why we have so much to choose from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because like it's a simple formula. I think it's just like the amount of anime we get per season now is just insane.
It's too much.
But at the same time, it's like, well, a lot of it is not very different from one another in terms of, I guess, like their build up and how they create the show, right?
Mm.
Like it's very rare that you find something that is so outside of the standard shonen framework.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why
Chainsaw
Man was a big deal in Shonen Jump, because yeah. It broke like every rule that Shonen Jump had,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. But you don't get that a lot.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of people kind of leave or stop watching anime, right? Because mm-hmm. there's always going to be a cool thing to watch. It doesn't matter when you jump in, when you step out, when you come back. There's always going to be something cool to watch. But at the same time, if you've been in it long enough, you'll probably see that it's like, well, this is just this generation's of that.
Yep.
Right? Maybe not one for one, but in terms of its influence and the audience it's grabbing, it's definitely the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say it has to be shonen. Like, that's the only answer. Unless, again, hentai. But
psych, it's sports anime. Get wrecked.
But even then, I would say sports anime is still shonen.
Yeah, sports anime is shonen. It's just like a subgenre of shonen.
Yeah, just replace the battles with
boxing or kicking volleyball. A ball.
Yeah. And it's the same shit. So
true.
Yeah.
Absolute facts.
Like you, it's funny. Like you would never see like a dramatic reenactment of sports that's not in the shonen framework for anime.
Yeah.
And a part of me kind of wants to see that.
Shoujo sports.
Yeah. Like it's weird. Like I would love to see.
Oh, the way he dunks is so beautiful.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know. But yeah, that's what I think about the powerful / influential anime.
But the MILF tag on hentai, though,
is not worth exploring.
God damn.
It's not good for your soul.
It's nurturing.
It really isn't. NTR, though, that's what
it's all. NTR and an ugly bastard, all right?
You need them.
Those are the tags.
You want to talk about who's the most powerful in anime?
Ugly bastards. There we go. Got there. How is he getting all this pussy? Nobody knows, dude. He's so ugly, but yet girls keep going to him.
Jesus, it's awful. You disgust me.
I'm just remembering an interview with Shibuya Kaho that Joey did, the anime man.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how, like, he's like, what's up with all the ugly bastards, like Jav and stuff? And she was like, listen, if we didn't have ugly bastards, there would be no market for porn. Like, they're so integral to the scene, dude. Like, where they're needed. They're that powerful. Even AV stars understand their power.
Of course. Love it.
It's over.
Dig it.
69,000.
Jeez. Sometimes wish I could be an ugly bastard.
Sometimes. But, you know, I'm just cursed with these killer good looks.
Unfortunately, this right?
Chiseled jaw.
I must God bear damn. This curse. Sorry, guys.
It's rough.
Sorry I can't join you. But
yeah, my bad.
What am I going to do? All right. Sounds like you watched anime or read manga.
I watched an animation and read some manga.
Oh, so this one is the anime.
Which one?
Seven?
No.
Oh.
Mike Tyson Mysteries, baby. I watched a show with some of my friends called Mike Tyson Mysteries.
Okay.
It is a comedy show on Netflix. It started in 2014, and it has four seasons as of right now. I think the last season came out in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like every year. They're just doing it like every once in a while. And the show is a adult version of Scooby-Doo in like 10-minute episodes where Mike Tyson, voiced by Mike Tyson, teams up with his Asian daughter and friend who is a gay ghost and a sexually deviant pigeon to solve mysteries that people send him by carrier pigeon.
Wow.
the pigeon is voiced by Norm MacDonald, the recently late Norm MacDonald.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This show is probably my second favorite Adult Swim show.
Okay.
Second only to Harvey Birdman.
And this
show gives the same vibes, really, as Harvey Birdman, where they take a known thing, twist it, and then add this like adult overtone to it. I could not explain to you the show because it is so, every episode is so random and kind of out there. And they're such in sharp chunks that each episode is just packed with jokes. It is 10 minutes of laughs. You get to the end. Mike Tyson shows up for a little bit in the credits.
Oh.
And then it's okay. Over.
Oh, Jim Rash is the gay guy. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But this show, I don't think Mike Tyson had anything to do with this show other than showing up.
No, it doesn't look like he had anything to do. From what I'm reading and seeing,
The things they get Mike Tyson to say in this show is fucking insane.
Hmm.
It's so crazy. I love it. I would recommend people just go check it out. I'm not going to like talk about the show any more than this because I think you get it more. So it's just like, yeah, it's a Harvey Birdman, Hanna-Barbera-esque show, but with a funny twist on it. Go watch it. It's definitely not for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Don't watch it with like your son or something. But if you need like a good, quick 10-minute laugh, this show is hilarious.
Okay.
It's I can't believe Mike Tyson voices himself in this goddamn show. It's really good. So after that is the manga.
The manga.
So I'll start off with The Bouncer. The Bouncer is a series by Makoto Mizuta, which I've talked about his other series before called Out. This is the one about the delinquents, and he went to juvie, promised he'd never go back to juvie because he was so isolated in solitary confinement
yes,
that it
yes.
drove him crazy. And the manga turns out to be insanely violent, right? And because he gets thrust back into the world of delinquents.
Yeah.
So The Bouncer is about this 19-year-old, Joichiro Shishido? Shishido? Yeah. Jidichiro Shishido. He's 19 years old, and he is too honest for his own good. And not just in terms of talking, but in terms of his emotions. So whatever he thinks should be right, he acts on it. And it has cost him 26 part-time jobs. So one day, he got fired, and he goes to a bar to go drink away his sorrows. And he sees these guys in the bar harassing these women. And it kind of goes a little too far. And instead of like asking him to calm down, what does he want to do? Knocks him the fuck out. He gets escorted out by security, which then he said like, no, I'm in the right, like all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And he tries to prove his
innocence,
not innocence, but I guess more so like resolve that he was right by fighting the bouncers.
Right? Okay.
He's like, I was right, blah, 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 whatever. So he fights these people from this private security firm called Tokyo Fist, and they fucking wreck him. Like, they break two of his arms, and he still fights back with a headbutt. They break one of his legs. He still tries to, like, it just, they fuck him up real bad. And then it turns out that the guy he was fighting was, like, the boss of Tokyo Fist, and he's like, wow, he really is kind of pathetic. So
okay.
I'm going to pay off all his hospital bills just because he probably didn't deserve what I did to him. And hopefully that'll be the end of that. He eventually goes back because he's a real man. And he's like, I want to apologize. Thank you for paying all my bills and all this stuff. Like, I will repay you at some point and blah, blah, blah. And so they give him a chance to work at Tokyo Fist. And the beginning of the story is him trying to calm down his, like, shonen hothead attitude and deal with being a bouncer. Because, like, when you're a bouncer, you can't just fly off the handle at any slight, right?
Yeah.
But eventually, it turns into, like, a big government secrecy type show where turns out Tokyo Fist has a stronghold on the city.
Okay.
Because they're somehow tied with the government, and the government gives them kickbacks and allows them to work almost like unabated. Like, the police in that area don't really do anything, right?
Okay. So
it's almost like a legal Yakuza.
Sounds pretty cool.
And then he learns about this, and as he gets better at controlling his anger, being a bouncer, fighting, he gets deeper and deeper into, like, just shit. Like, his whole life gets turned upside down, and right now where I am in the manga, like, you would have never have guessed that this guy used to be this hothead kid doing whatever.
Okay.
It's really good. It is very, very, very violent. So Makoto Mizuta, he doesn't fuck around when it comes to violence. Like, he will show you, like, if a guy gets punched and he cracks his head off the pavement,
yeah,
he will show you what would really happen if you got punched and cracked your head off the pavement.
Well.
Yeah. There are scenes in the show where people just get, like, American History X curb stomped into, like, a planter and stuff like that. It is very brutal, and the topics they deal with are also very, sometimes crazy over the top, but they're also very adult. So, like, they're, one of them they had to deal with a hooker, like a lady of the night, let's say. And they show, like, what it's really like to be in that sort of position, right? Like, it's not sex work. Yeah, it's like, no, you're selling your body. It's never, almost, like, usually never great. You might have, like, a drug addiction, you might have all this stuff. And he shows, like, the seedy underbelly of Tokyo. I think in one of, like, the most recent chat, like, this will give you a good baseline for the kind of shit they do, and then if you don't want to read it, you can skip it. There was a storyline where they protect a AV actress, and they figure out that the son was getting bullied by someone. And it turns out that the kid who was bullying him found out his mom was an AV actress, made him dress up like his mom, and raped him.
Oh, my God.
And these are, like, it's like child on child rape. Like, they're in grade 5 in the manga.
This is awful.
It's really fucking dark. But nobody goes that, like, I haven't read anything other than his series that go that far, but don't come off as just, like, utter edgelord. Like, usually when something goes that crazy, it's just like, I'm so edgy, cool, look at me. But, like, the world that Makoto Mizuta has, like, constructed, it's like, yeah, this is supposed to be the seedy underbelly.
Yeah.
And everything else has been, like, so realistic that, like,
yeah
maybe a kid who has never been told no and his grandfather is, like, part of, like, a crime syndicate would be that fucked up to do something like that, right?
Yeah.
And everything plays very well. And the thing I've learned from reading his series is that if he ever in a fight draws somebody jumping into the air, the next panel is going to be very bad.
Okay.
But I really enjoy his stuff. I don't think anybody's doing stories like he is, and I would recommend both Bouncer and Out. I think they're fantastic, but they are niche reads. They are very dark, they're very violent, and if you're not into that kind of stuff, even if it's not just, like, edgelordy fun, like, I wouldn't blame you. It's kind of rough. These I don't think these will ever get manga or animes adaptions. If they do, I would be absolutely shocked.
But yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, I would recommend them. They're very good.
Okay.
And then on the complete opposite end, I've read now, let me look it up in the folder. I've read 15 volumes of Seven Deadly Sins.
Okay, why?
So years ago, actually, I'm looking at the files right now. 2008, June 19th, 2008.
Yeah,
I know.
This is not new,
I got a Humble Bundle, a manga Humble Bundle, and it gave me 22 volumes of CBRs for Seven Deadly Sins.
Right.
And I had caught up on kind of, like, everything I was reading or everything that I wanted to catch up on.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just need something in between me waiting for weekly chapters. So I was like, oh, I got those ebooks. All right. And so I was like, I could either read Anji, the ghost thing, or I could read Seven Deadly Sins. And I was like, I'm in the mood for Shonen. Let's read some Seven Deadly Sins. And I kind of got hooked, but I couldn't tell why.
Because it's Shonen.
Because it is Shonen, but I've kind of figured it out. This series is like, it's like junk food. It's not really, it doesn't taste great. It's not good for, you're not gaining anything from eating it.
Dude, junk food always tastes great. That's the whole point of junk food. Eh. Well, okay, if you're eating junk food and it doesn't taste good, you shouldn't be eating it.
It's not that it doesn't taste good. It's like I could be having, like, I could eat a Dorito or I could have, like, the fancy restaurant tortilla, whatever, and, like, spruce it up, right? Or you could just have a Dorito. Like, it still tastes good and it's still doing whatever, but there are better options out there.
Okay.
Nothing, absolutely nothing about this show is exceptional. And I think that works in its favor, kind of.
Hmm.
Because I am kind of moving along. I guess I should say the whole show is about this girl, Elizabeth, who goes out on an adventure and is being chased by these royal guards from some kingdom. She's going out to find these band of criminals called the Seven Deadly Sins. They were great knights in her town who were driven out as criminals when they attempted to overthrow the kingdom, allegedly. And she's trying to bring them back because there's like a great evil fucking up her kingdom.
Okay.
And that's the gist. And I think I keep reading it because it's just the powers. It's the same reason I read Bleach.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, if I really kind of, like, think about Bleach,
mm-hmm.
it's fine. It's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In my eyes. But I really love Taite Kubo's imagination for shonen powers. Mm. And Seven Deadly Sins from chapter one starts with established ultra-powerful characters.
Yeah.
Like, the first night they meet, he punches he tries to punch one of the characters, misses, hits the ground, and blows up a mountain.
Oh, okay.
And that's chapter one. And it only goes up from there. And seeing the established character and not having to go through the whole training arc or whatever, like, they're already established super gods, powerful.
Yeah.
Is why I kept reading it. Because I'm like, okay, I've got past the part I hate. And we started at the point I like.
Yeah.
And now it's just going to go up.
Okay.
And I just keep reading it.
Man, if that's your criteria, there's a lot of shit you'd like to watch.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it. I kind of want... What's that one where the guy, like, kills somebody with his heartbeat?
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah. Like, that shit sounds awesome. But Seven Deadly Sins, like, it's got a lot of likable characters. It's got a lot of cool powers and, like, good world building.
Yeah.
But none of it is, like... I would never choose this over Naruto. I would never choose this over Bleach. Or not Bleach. I would never choose this over One Piece. I would never choose this over, I don't know, what else am I reading? One Punch Man and stuff like that. I don't
think anybody would ever choose this over anything.
Yeah. But it's still quality enough to where it's like, yeah, you know what? Let's see what this is going for.
Okay.
And it does everything just well enough to make me not drop it. It's like teetering on the edge of good and mediocre. Mm. And it's really interesting to read.
Yeah.
So I have like 22 volumes, I said, 22, 21 volumes. But this ended in 2020. And I think there's like 41 volumes of this show.
Wow.
So I don't know where I'm going to get the rest of them. And I don't know why it lasted this long.
Wow.
Like, yeah. Apparently, the Wikipedia article, as of March 2020, Seven Deadly Sins has over 37 million copies in circulation. Wow. So it's not a small time gig. I just don't know why it's not a small time gig.
This outlasted Fairy Tail?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe I should read Fairy Tail.
See, I'm wondering why you haven't read that.
I don't know.
Because you love One Piece.
I do love One Piece, but it's also not the same guy. It's just some dude who aped Oda's style.
Close enough.
Tomato, tomato, you know? So yeah, I don't even know if I can recommend this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, it's fine.
All right.
If you're in a situation like me, and you're just kind of like, I just want to read something.
Is it, like, on the I same guess? Level as something like Soul Eater?
Soul Eater's good.
Okay.
That's the problem. Like, Soul Eater and Fire Force, like, those are good.
Yeah, okay.
I would actively recommend those.
All right.
Like, I don't know what I would chalk this up to.
Okay.
I'm looking through, like, my list, but yeah, like, it's just, it's enough to where I keep wanting to go back for more.
All right.
Right? Like, you eat a cornball and you're like, these are cool. These are okay. And then the bag's gone.
Yeah, I've never had that problem. I can't relate.
You're a junk food connoisseur.
Yeah, it's like okay. I'm only eating this because
true. You are eating Haribo's.
I'm not out here. Like if I'm gonna eat junk food, I'm gonna make it count.
Okay.
Because if I'm gonna put that shit in my body, it better be worth it.
Yeah, for me, like sometimes I'll have like, what's like a really mediocre chip?
I don't know, but like
a Lay's.
Lay's is good. What are you talking about?
I'd rather have like a Miss Vicky's.
Oh, okay. It depends. Like Miss Vicky's require like. There's a time and place for both.
Yeah.
There's some days where it's like, Miss Vicky's requires too much effort from my jaw.
Okay. How about this? No name brand.
Okay. Yeah. Like ketchup chips. Okay. I'll give you that. Yeah. For
right?
sure.
Where
for
it's
sure.
like, these are, I could get a better ketchup chip, right? I could get Lay's ketchup chips.
Okay.
But it's here. And then an hour later, you've ate the whole bag.
Wow, my man.
That's what Seven Deadly Sins is. Wow.
Okay. Better or worse than Dr. Stone.
I'm reading Seven Deadly Sins, so I stopped watching Dr. Stone.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what to tell you there.
Better or worse than Assassination Classroom?
It's probably better than Ass Class.
Wow.
I heard after Midway, Ass Class gets really good, so maybe I should give it another try.
Okay. But... okay. How's it compare to Black Clover?
Oh, Black Clover is... I think Black Clover is, like, top-tier shonen.
You think so?
I probably, like... For me, it's, like, One Piece... Naruto, two other things, and then Black Clover.
Okay. I was like, there's no way you're gonna put Black Clover up there with
this. No. Okay. Like Black Clover is like five. Okay. Like that show is sick.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
So good.
All right.
So yeah, I don't know. It's Seven Deadly Sins. And then continuing on the junk food train, I watched Jackass 4.5.
Is this the most recent one?
This is the most recent one. But before people watch it, it's like a behind the scenes of four. So I thought that Jackass 4.5 was going to be Jackass 4 with bonus. This is a companion piece to Jackass 4.
Oh.
This okay. is, if you have watched Jackass 4 and you liked it, you watch this to get all the behind the scenes, how they made it, all the problems they had, because they like started filming pre-COVID, and then they filmed in COVID, and then they released it post-COVID, and it was like a whole thing. And they have like some deleted sketches that they had, or like, pranks and injuries that they had that they didn't put in the actual movie. And it's a really interesting thing from like a viewer's perspective, but I definitely missed out on a lot of the nuance of Jackass because I didn't watch Jackass 4.
Oh, you didn't watch Forever?
No, I didn't. I meant to, and then it kind of left the theater.
I feel like, yeah, you would have watched that, but okay.
But I watched this, like even the background, this shit's fucking funny. Oh my God. I would have really loved Jackass Forever.
Probably. I would have probably hated it.
You don't like Jackass in general?
No.
You don't like watching dudes get hit in the nuts?
No. Like when it came, out, like that was the cool thing.
Yeah.
I never understood it. Like when the guy shoved the car up his ass, I was like, why?
That was
I was like, why?
For the reaction.
No, that's why. But like, I think it's the same, like it's just why.
Yeah, that's the whole show is why, like you're watching a bunch of lunatics put their body through torturous pain for your entertainment. And on some level, you're kind of like, wow, these people are crazy. And this is so nuts. I can't help but laugh. And on the other hand, you are like, why?
Yeah.
And especially,
no, I can't, because like, I don't laugh. I'm just like, nah, this just makes me uncomfortable.
There are some uncomfortable ones in here.
Oh, I bet.
Because back in the day, you know, like 10 years ago, these were all young and spry guys.
Young lads.
All right. They'll bounce back from whatever they
do. I don't. I think
they're older now.
Noxil has white hair in this, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. So he started pre-COVID, black hair. Then when they started filming again during COVID, white hair.
Damn.
And it's part of it is like, oh, this is like all the old Jackass stunts, also like amped to 11. But also it's amplified by the fact that they're old, right? And when you see Johnny Knoxville get laid the fuck out, you're like, is he down? Like, is he dead? Like, that's what I'm wondering. There's a bunch of situations where like Steve-O does something and he gets concussions. He gets knocked out. Like, he just has no memory of whatever just happened. And there's other like crazy, silly stuff. Apparently, most of their budget went to the opening scene of the fourth movie. And that whole scene is a tokusatsu Godzilla ripoff where I forget his name. I know his stage name was like Party Boy in the old ones. They make up and paint his dick so that it looks like Godzilla. and they get master puppeteers from Hollywood, like people who have been on high budget movies, to puppeteer his penis so that it looks like Godzilla going through a like modeled town, yeah, like real, no 3D, like they modeled the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's insane. It's so crazy. The whole premise of the movie is so absurd. I can't help but like enjoy it and
wow,
almost like respect it in a way.
Like, yeah, I get it. I won't deny there is a certain amount of respect to someone who's just able to do that.
Yeah.
But also, this is just stupid.
There's a scene where they put like a porta potty into a custom rig.
Yeah.
That spins it. Yeah. And Steve-O is,
oh, yes.
Inside the porta potty.
I think that's in a trailer, yeah.
Yeah, and he's just tumbling through, yeah, while shit, like literal shit, yeah, is falling on him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these guys are nuts. One of the skits is absolutely disgusting. They have like one of the new guys on, and you know, they bring him on because he's fat, right? And they do all the fat jokes.
As one would, yeah.
So they do human sushi.
Oh, what?
So they get raw fish.
Okay.
And they put it under his folds, anywhere they can fit the sushi. Mm. Okay. They then wrap the man in saran wrap, make him run around, do a bunch of exercises, and then they open the saran wrap and they have to eat the sushi that has been, quote, cooked underneath his fat folds and like ass crack and shit. Mm. And it is just, someone tries to eat something, they throw up. Then the cameraman throws up, and it's just like a puke fest. And I'm like, oh my God, these people are insane. And you can't look away. You can't look away. And it's, I bet now you're just like, but I kind of want to see that.
No.
I kind of want to, like, really, what actually happened there?
I really don't want to have anything to do with this.
You sure?
Yeah.
We can go see Four.
No.
Is this still in theaters?
Forever? No, it's on SD Blu-ray? To BD.
It's on SD to BD? Hell yeah. It's the only way to watch.
Yeah.
You got to get that downscaler.
Oh. Gross.
I'm gonna be a little spicy here.
Uh-oh.
I think this is a white people thing.
This show?
I think Jackass is definitely a white people thing.
I think so, because you know who really is not a fan of these shows?
Not white people.
Black people.
They got some black people in the crew now.
Yeah, but like whenever I talk to like my black friends, I'm like, you see Jackass, like, no.
That shit dumb.
Yeah, they're crazy. Like, I'm, all right, well, fair enough.
Fair enough. You know, you got me there.
Yeah.
So yeah. As a white person,
yeah,
I love this shit. It's so funny.
No, because yeah, because I think like the version of this I like is the Japanese pranks.
Okay,
right? Like they never go as hard, but they're equally as
ridiculous.
Yes, but they're not grotesque, is what I'm saying.
Okay,
right. Like they're stupid.
What about the one where the two girls are like trying to blow a cockroach into each other's mouth? Like that's still fine for you?
That's fine.
Okay,
that's fine. But like. The ones where you're out there to, like, hurt someone,
yeah.
I can't get behind
they
that.
They had one where they were getting, like, a falcon to, like, eat
meat like,
out of the...
Like, that's not even a joke. That's just...
But you look at it, and you're like... And you start laughing, because you're like, this is so insane.
No, I would not laugh.
I do.
No, I would not laugh. Because, to me, like, what's the difference between that and a kid falling into the tiger cage at a zoo?
It's still funny.
No, that is not funny.
If he doesn't die, it's funny.
Dude, that's not funny. No.
If he doesn't die, it's hilarious.
No way. Because I think this is the one where they put like the bear in the
room.
In
Four,
yeah.
They strap a guy to a chair,
yeah,
and cover him in honey, and then they release a bear into the room.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, that's not funny.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
That's so funny.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, I got to watch Four now.
Yeah, forever.
I think I watched this in the wrong order, but.
Yeah, you should watch.
It was great. But seeing the behind the scenes is crazy. Like the people they get, like respected Hollywood seconds to puppet a man's penis covered in green paint.
Yeah, I mean, like that sounds funny.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
It's wild. I don't know. They also bring back like some Johnny Knoxville's like the bad grandpa character and stuff.
Isn't he old enough just to be the bad grandpa now?
He still needs the makeup. Oh, okay. Like they go for it. But there's like a lot of pranks in there and stuff that are like really funny that aren't grotesque. Like it's just like prank humor.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, they can't make another one. They're going to kill themselves. It's
okay.
How hard they go in this movie is it's too hard.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
It's got to be the last
one. Fair enough. Yeah.
But that has been my week.
That's your week?
Yeah.
Wicked. Well, I finally finished Moon Knight.
Oh, you did?
It's over.
How was that?
It was 6 episodes. The first 3 episodes were kind of like how I felt about when I originally talked about it. We're like, yeah, it's cool. It's whatever. It's Egyptian superhero. Mm-hmm. Neato. Neato Bandito. Episode 4 and 5 is where the show gets really interesting.
Okay.
And that because it all the whole show then revolves in the mind of Mark.
Interesting.
And Steven.
Cool.
And it's just that. And they have to, it's basically an internal struggle. And it gets really interesting.
Are they like vying for power type of thing?
Nope.
Like, okay.
Nope. But they answer basically all your questions about where they come, like who's the original, like why do they exist, mm-hmm. Like how we got the powers and whatnot. And it's really interesting.
Okay.
And then the final episode happens and it just turns into like standard superhero thing.
Boo.
Like monsters and gods.
Oh,
and,
man.
We get another superhero.
They bait and switch you.
And they get their being. But throughout the whole series, they always hint at like Mark has a like very, very powerful thing that he does sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like that, the screen will like cut out of it.
All right.
And it's kind of used as like a get out of jail free card.
Is it the mind memory thing where like he doesn't remember?
Yeah, but okay. Like combine that with a power that is just unstoppable.
Oh, okay.
Right? And they use it to just neatly sew up conflicts.
Just like write themselves into a corner.
Yeah, they're like, this is inescapable.
How would he ever solve this?
Who knows? Power. Blackout.
All right.
And then, yeah, but the thing is, other people see him. Like, they see him during this blackout, and they're like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
And they do it too many times where it's like, we get it. There's another mind in your head.
Yeah.
Who's probably psychotic. He's probably
sick.
Yeah. Like, just get on with it. Like, mm-hmm. You can't keep using this as your, like, Deus Ex Machina card. And it kind of got annoying because that's literally how they end the show. Sorry, spoilers, but like.
With Deus Ex Machina?
Yeah.
Aw.
Like, and then they do like the full reveal after like that this is what it was. And you're like, that feels so cheap because you use this trick throughout the whole show.
You never showed us.
You never showed us. And then when it came to the pivotal time, that's what was like, that was the linchpin. And I was just like, forget it.
I wonder if it's one of those things where like maybe they wanted to write themselves into a corner for like, I guess, excitement. But then the payoff on what it was like. Doing that made it so that the payoff would never be satisfying.
Yeah, like it is 100% we're doing this so that you want to know what the season 2 guy is.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
And it's okay.
I guess to run a whole season for just for that, that's...
Yeah, well, I think at the end of the day, like this is about Moon Knight and the Moon Knight character.
Mm-hmm.
And through this season, you get to know both Mark and Steven in their entirety.
Yeah.
But the third figure, who knows?
Okay.
I mean, if you guys are comic book fans, then you'll probably know. Yeah, it's Jake.
I know nothing about Moon Knight. So.
Okay. Well, there you go. The Boys season 3 starts airing today. But when I heard that news came out, I resubbed to Amazon Prime so I could finish watching The Expanse, the sci-fi TV show.
What was this?
Earth and Mars are not at war, but almost on like political war. And you follow the actions of a crew who, what do you call it? Shoot. They're on this ship called the Canterbury.
Okay.
And like the big theme, like the big slogan of the show is Remember the Cant.
All right.
I think there's a guy in our neighborhood who has that on his car.
Really? Does the show that much?
Says Remember the Cant. God yeah. Damn. Anyways, I had watched this when it first came out, back when. There's only 2 seasons, but I completely forgot everything. So I rewatch it, and the show is, yeah, it's kind of awesome. It's kind of amazing. It's like it's the best sci-fi show airing currently.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really too much I want to talk about because I only watched the first 2 seasons, which is where I left off last time. So I haven't watched anything new up to this point. I think there's 6 seasons out. I think TJ like shotgunned the whole thing. He's done.
All right.
But I'm thoroughly enjoying it again, and it's exactly the kind of show I really like, where it's just space sci-fi,
mm-hmm.
Obviously government and political intrigue, and then you're following the like ragtag rogue crew, right? It's
okay.
it's basically the makeup of every sci-fi show, right? Where it's like. It's like Star Wars, right? Like, there's a whole thing in the background, but you're really just following
this little story.
Yeah. And so that's what it's all about. And that's pretty good. But I stopped watching this. Like, I put a hold after season two because the trailer for Bleach's final arc came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it came and they added, like, sound effects and dubs. Or not dubs, but the voices. Lines. The voices, yeah. On top of, like, the music. It was such a hype trailer.
I'm not going to lie. It's a hype trailer.
Like, it's such a hype trailer. And I completely forgot that, like, Ichigo's theme is the best shonen theme. I don't know. I don't, like, a singular.
I literally did not remember a single note until you put it on.
Yeah, but you put it on, you're like, I know this.
I was like, I kind of know it.
Okay. Well, I can't, because I of the big shonen protags, mm-hmm. like, oh, man. Goku doesn't have a theme.
What are you talking about?
Right? I don't think I've ever liked Luffy's.
That theme's sick. What are you talking about?
And Naruto comes close, but it doesn't. Da, 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 but it doesn't get as cool as Ichigo's.
When it goes, huh. You don't like that?
No.
You don't like those grunts, baby?
No. But because of this, I was like, yo, I haven't watched Bleach since I was like in high school.
You're right. And you know what? You should leave old things where they are in the past.
Except I went back.
God damn. What a hypocrite.
I went to episode one of 379 or something.
You're a lunatic. Holy
shit. I watched six episodes. God damn, Bleach is... What a trip.
Dude, that is second monitor. Put it on dub.
This is on my main screen.
Jesus Christ. Full attention.
In my living room.
Phone's off.
Phone off. Coffee in hand.
Oh my God. Like,
just... I'm going through it and I'm loving it. But yeah, this is a 20-year-old anime. At least the season I'm watching. First season. And... Yeah. There are things that I just completely forgot.
4:3.
First of all, yeah, 4:3, 480p. Not quite.
Dude, BD to SD.
I'm watching on Crunchyroll. There is no BD to SD.
Internet to SD.
No. But I'm super into it. I forgot that because in recent Bleach imagery, it's of their like older character designs. And I've always thought that, you know, they all kind of look kind of weird.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. But going back to season one, or maybe it's because it was a different studio, they're the characters I remember. They don't look that weird at all. Like, they look like what I remember them looking like. Mm-hmm. And they have that art style that feels like it was inspired by the 90s, but it's clearly made in the early
2000s. Yeah.
So it's there. This is just before the rise of, like, CG. Mm-hmm. So to see an anime completely devoid of CG was a bit jarring.
Yeah, it's sick.
Yes and no. Yes and no. Because I forgot that with just strictly hand-drawn... anime, they add a lot of really cheesy effects to it, and I would say that's equally as ugly as CG.
Berserk 2016 would like to have a word with you.
But the one thing I'll say is, even though, you know, all hand drawn is nice, the overall quality, it never reaches the highs of current level anime.
Well, also, like, it's, they were, I would imagine 20 years ago, I don't think like PC drawing tech was sick enough, right? They're probably doing that on paper and then putting it to something.
But even that, like, I would just say that, like, I don't know, like, yeah, CG is bad and whatever, but when it's combined with like top quality, I guess.
Like digital animation, like digital art.
Like, it creates a much more impactful look. And then that just made me realize, like, oh, that's right. I didn't really think anime looked super awesome until I saw Fotable with the Fate series. That's, and their manga, baby. Their signature has always been, like, they've added CG.
We have CG.
Like,
it's in here.
And you knew it, but you accepted it because you're like, this looks too sick. Because everything just feels like in older anime, especially Bleach, everything moves at the same, I guess, to... the analogy to music, it's all in the same time signature.
Yep.
Right? They're all like moving at 4/4.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like in anime today, they change that up, right? Yeah. And it's far more dynamic.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes like they'll even, where I felt in like old animes, the quality is very consistent all the way through the episode.
Yes, yes.
Whereas in modern day, sometimes they'll like, it'll, we're going to save the budget here in the talking scene, and then we're going to spend the budget in the punching scene.
Yeah. I'm not going to say which one I think is better, but like it definitely is noticeable.
You might say it. We all know.
But bro, Bleach is so fucking, what a nostalgia trip. I forgot how much the first season is all about Rukia.
Yep. And how Ichigo loves Rukia.
Yeah, then like the second season is about trying to save Rukia.
Mm-hmm. She interfered.
I'm so excited to just shotgun this thing.
Bleach is one of those things where I loved everything surrounding Bleach, but I never got into it like I should have. Like,
oh, I see, like, I'm so deep.
I guess I came in when I was talking about Seven Deadly Sins and I compared it to Bleach,
yeah?
Right?
Yeah.
But like, Bleach to me has always been, I want to see Taite Kubo's art style because he makes very fashionable and cool looking characters.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This... God, everyone's so stylish in this show. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got cool openings and endings, and his powers are very cool. Like, 18, 19-year-old me, when Rukia's brother drops the sword.
Oh, with the cherry blossom?
Yeah, and then the cherry blossoms show up, and I'm like, yo, this looks sick. And then all the cherry blossoms are swords.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God.
And they just follow.
Yeah. It was so cool, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was definitely one of those things where, like, if I had the anime exposure I have now back then, I'd be like, you know, Bleach is pretty mid.
I don't know if I'd say that. I think Bleach up until Aizen.
True. You're was right.
Pretty fucking should've awesome.
Should have ended at Aizen. You're right.
Like, it was awesome. Hell like, yeah. It was right up there with Naruto being awesome. Actually, I think at that point, Naruto was in, like, filler zone.
I make so many people mad on Twitter when I say Bleach should have ended at Aizen.
I feel like that's the correct answer. But then again, I've only seen up to the part where he gets his power back.
Aizen?
No, Ichigo.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like, after that. And then, like, I know nothing. Okay. I know nothing. In fact, I think I skipped half of the last Aizen arc, and I just saw the thing, like, the final battle, where I think Ichigo has long hair, right? Yeah. But yeah.
Dude, that the final arc?
I heard it's ridiculous.
It's... dumb.
Yeah,
in the best way possible.
Really?
I think I'm saying it's dumb in the best way possible.
Okay.
And then you take that as you will.
All right. So goddamn, you're telling me this is JoJo. Oh, god damn it.
It might even be crazier.
Okay. Oh god. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'm gonna go through it at my own pace.
Yeah.
I have till October to finish all 300.
Yeah, I was gonna say
70 episodes.
Too slow.
What? Yeah. But
two times speed maybe?
No. I'm not that person. All right. I can't do it.
Oh, okay.
I can't even do it with a podcast sometimes.
Two episodes at the same time?
No. What?
One on your phone, one on the TV?
How? No. I'm looking forward more to like getting beyond further season. Like, I'm looking for the season where it finally switches from 4:3 to 16:9.
Yeah.
And then I could be like, all right, so at least we got 720p.
Okay. All right.
I'm happy. But yeah, other than that, I was in America this past week, past couple days.
And you didn't buy any Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew. God damn, no. Why not?
Because I saw that and I was like, this is a no. This is an absolute
this is a nightmare.
No. America's first time being back in America since pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Man.
How America was it?
Dude, sometimes you just forget the fucking value at any restaurant.
It's insane. No wonder everybody's fat over
there. Yeah, like
it's
crazy. I cannot blame any American for being fat.
Did you go to McDonald's while you were there?
Absolutely.
You like, see how cheap their nuggets are?
I know, but like,
it's not real meat, but who cares?
They had a deal where it was like $6 for 10 nuggets and a Big Mac. And I was like,
what?
$6. And? Yeah. I was like, how am I supposed to say no to
and
that?
And there?
How do I say no to that? Because here in Canada, $6 gets you a Big Mac.
Dude, it's the coupon now. It's $7.19 for a meal deal.
Jeez. Like,
that's the coupon.
Like it's insane.
But we also use like official Canadian beef and chicken and stuff. Like there, we go through like rigorous food standards here.
Yeah, sure, whatever. But it doesn't matter.
$2 chicken nugget.
Like, come on. Like, wow. And then I always forget that like when you order a medium there, it's our large, or actually it's like our largest size soft drink you can buy.
Yeah, it's insane.
And it's wild.
Also, when you ask for iced tea, it's just iced tea. Like, goddamn.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got to ask for, like, brisk or something.
Yeah, like, sweet tea.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I just got Minute Maid.
All right.
Whatever. But, yeah, it was, like, food was, like, it was something else. I couldn't believe it.
How much you put on?
I don't know. Probably too much. Because, obviously, I didn't work out while I was there.
Yeah.
I did a lot of walking.
You're just shopping.
Yeah. So, yeah, I went to Pennsylvania for tax-free outlet shopping.
Hell yeah, brother.
Dropped like $500. I got a lot of summer gear, is what I'm saying. Because, like, I bought some very flashy colors for the summer.
Nice.
Like, I got neon shorts.
Bringing back the 90s, okay.
Yeah, like, I bought all those colors. It was wicked. Because, like, I went to Reebok, and they're like, $7 for shorts. I'm like, I'm going to buy all the colors.
Nice.
And then after that, I went to Rochester. Then I went to the Strong Museum.
What is that?
It's the Museum of Play.
Okay.
It's a whole museum dedicated to anything that is related to the idea of play.
Okay.
So the first floor is all like, I wish I was seven, because yeah. it's like the most amazing jungle gyms, like indoor jungle gyms you've ever seen.
So just, do you go in anyways?
Well, yeah, you could do stuff, but like I wasn't going to go crawling around the Jack and the Beanstalk one.
Hell yeah, why not? What'd you do? What are you doing?
I had other things to look at.
And then like some mom could be like to Deborah, like, or like, oh, is your kid in there? And you're just like, hey, look how high I am. It's so sick.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, because they have some that are like, they had like a whole Sesame Street. They built out Sesame Street, like as a whatever. It was cool. They have one that's like a fantasy inspired ones. Mm-hmm. So like fairy tales, like Jack and the Beanstalk, yeah. Cinderella, whatever, King Arthur, I think. There's like a pirate. Like they have like half a whole pirate ship in there.
That sounds sick.
Like, it's huge. That sounds awesome. Like, if you have a child, you should go here. Like, it just makes their day. It was incredible. They even have what are they called? God, they're not treetop trekking, but it's like indoor high ropes. Mm-hmm. But it's like a whole obstacle course that goes throughout the museum.
Okay.
So cool. But the second floor is the reason I really wanted to go, is because it's simultaneously the Video Game Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And the Toy Hall of Fame.
Oh.
And so they take you through the timeline from like early 1800s to now. Mm-hmm. And they show you, they have an example, like a pristine example of everything that's ever been inducted to the Hall of Fame, as well as other important cultural items. Mm-hmm. So like they have a whole exhibit on women in gaming. Like they have a whole like Amy Henning mm-hmm. thing, right? Yep. They show you like all Jennifer Hale's there because of her voice performances, yep. right?
Legendary.
Yeah, they have the Kojima section with like...
That should just be the whole museum.
Like, it's insane. And it was fun to see. They also have like the beginnings of board games till now. And like all the classics are there, right? Like obviously Ticket to Ride is in there.
Yeah.
Carcassonne, Monopoly. Catan, Monopoly. All the way back to...
Chutes and Ladders.
Pre-chess, like things like that.
Okay.
And even some of the more complicated stuff that you would find today. What was cool is they have a whole through the years arcade. So like it starts from the 70s and mm-hmm. it has like what they consider to be like the iconic popular mm-hmm. machines all the way up to today.
Yeah.
Right. So they had
like Asteroids.
Asteroids. They had not Sega Rally. Is it Virtual Racing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Virtual the one.
That game slaps.
Yeah, oh they had that. They had Street Fighter 1.
Yeah, that game sucks.
Yeah,
that
I was like, wow, this game fucking sucks.
Game's trash, dude.
Yeah, yeah. So it was cool to go through that arcade, and you got to go like play all that yeah. and all the modern stuff. So they also had the same thing for a pinball section. Mm-hmm. So like classic machines to whatever's most recent. It was a cool little experience. I definitely recommend going if you ever find yourself in the area. I went there because it was just kind of like the trip was always planned to go to Pennsylvania, and it's just something I wanted to tack on at the end.
It was there.
I don't know if I would say like deliberately drive out there if that's your only thing. Yeah.
Go get cheap clothes and then do that.
Yeah,
as a
like if you're in the area and you have other things to do, definitely. But yeah.
Wait, hold on. Tax free video games.
I don't know actually, because I never went to go think. I know certain things have tax.
Okay.
Clothing does not.
All right.
Right. All right. Like clothing and shoes. But yeah, that was fun. But yeah, America's a interesting place.
It's the, okay. Also, I find that when I'm on trips, I can tell someone is American if they just randomly shoot up a conversation with me. How many times did that happen to you while you were in the States?
I don't know. Cause I feel like that's the norm. Like I get that a lot here in Toronto.
Oh, I definitely don't. Like, random people do not talk to me in Canada.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, I'm just too devastatingly good looking. We went through this before. They're just intimidated.
They got that pressure. They're like, damn, cannot approach. No, I wouldn't say it was any more or less than what I get in Toronto.
Okay.
I think the only way you could tell they're Americans, and this is probably because I was in Grove City, their accent was much more pronounced. Like, they had, like, the... I don't even know what their accent is.
Yeah.
Like, it's from Ohio.
Yeah, people always tell me that I have an accent, and I'm like, no, I don't. I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. That's it. That's how you say it.
Wow. <right? laughs> Yeah, no. The accent was definitely pronounced, and I could tell. Also, yeah, it was a bunch of white people. It was so weird.
It's America.
Yeah. No. There's different cities that have... different cultures.
Yeah, like the major metropolitans. Yeah. But you're in Ohio.
Yeah. No, I was in Pennsylvania, but I was in like, yeah, it was like a, I was in the country.
I've been to Ohio as well. I've been to the boonies, so, let's say.
But it's so weird because you get there and it's just like, you know, here we're in the whole like, yeah, we're getting over COVID. Some people wearing their masks.
Yeah.
Like there it's just like COVID never happened.
Freedom, baby.
Yeah. It's just wild. So, yeah. I got to say crossing the border was super easy.
Yeah. They're like, please come spend money,
like,
dear
coming
God.
Coming in, zero fucks given.
All right.
Coming back to Canada is like,
how many guns do you have?
No, you got to sign up for like an app and like upload all your vaccines.
It's terrible.
And scan your passport.
We're paying the ass.
Yeah, so it was a bit more trouble getting back into Canada. So that said, it wasn't that much trouble. And yeah, going to America is a lot easier now that I have a phone plan that just has roaming on it.
Okay.
So you could just use your data. It was things are just way easier to figure out. But yeah. God, I miss Target. Target's so good.
They fucked it up over here. They expanded too quick, too fast.
Target's so good.
Too wide, too quickly.
Target's great. I love Target. Target, you're awesome. But yeah, that was like...
Stop simping for Big Corp, dude.
Dude, that Target, though. It's red. It's not blue like Walmart. Like, that's the real... That's reality behind it.
My cousin, when it was here, she would always call it Target. Because it's fancy Walmart. I'm like, you're such a redneck.
I don't know if it's fancy Walmart, but sure, yeah, whatever. I mean, it does have a Starbucks in it. But...
Right? Hmm. What does Walmart have? McDonald's.
No, that's only in Canada.
The food of the people.
Because all the Walmarts I went to there had Subway.
Oh, that even worse.
Yeah, I was like, this is awful.
They don't even have bread. It's just cake.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, that was it. Like, it was a fun, like, five-day trip. Yeah, that put a bit of a hold on my... hobbies and activities, mm-hmm. but I'm getting
back into the swing of things.
Yeah,
by
man.
Doing what you hate the most, ingesting old things.
I know, but I gotta get through bleach.
God damn,
I gotta do it. Wish me luck, everyone. Anyways, see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Oh, that space bar, stop it.